And when we actually choose to have a good choice each and every moment, one after the other, good choice, good choice, good choice, good choice, you can turn your life around in light speed.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people kind of like you. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it, that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. This was a really compelling interview. It was compelling because the way we opened today was to start with a story. James Ert is someone who's transitioned from a place that was dark, crime-filled, and not the ideal place any of us would think of when we think about one's youth or childhood. And yet he transitioned to a place and to a way of living that inspires entrepreneurs and people around him on a daily basis. I loved this interview because it read somewhat like a self-help novel, which is, I know, something he and I would both resonate with. But most importantly, I enjoyed it because I think it spoke the truth to the fact that we all have a story, that we all started somewhere. And while most of our stories aren't necessarily as dark, although some may be, our stories are what enable us to do the work that we were meant to do in the world today. And that was the culminating message of what we talked about. It was important, it was insightful, and it is all here for you. James Ert, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Hello, Megan. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have you here. I'm really excited to talk to you because you are a man of many talents. You are a speaker, entrepreneur, success coach, philanthropist, TV host. How did you get to a place where you have so many incredible skills and you're having so much impact on so many people?
Oh, wow. Thank you so much for asking the question. It's a big one. It's a loaded one. You know, we all have a story, and ultimately our story makes us who we are today. So if you're open to it, I would love to maybe share a little bit about my roots, we'll call it, back when I was a teenager. How sensitive are your listeners, Megan?
They're open to stories. I think a lot of them have stories. And yeah, it'd be amazing to hear yours.
Yeah, I came from a lovely Canadian family, you know, great parents. I was a great student, a great artist. I had some girlfriends, played sports, and then it all changed with what seemed to be a minor decision at the time. At the age of 15, turned out to be a major life-altering choice. I smoked my first joint of marijuana, and that led to curiosity about other drugs. It led to grades slipping, skipping school, hanging out downtown, crime, violence, and eventually prison. When my girlfriend forged a check, I was at the age of 17. We thought it would be fun to go cash this $10,000 check, take off to Mexico, party, party. And I went to go cash this check that she had forged from her father, and the police and her father were waiting for me at the bank at the age of 17. Good kid, really, really, really bad choice. I was actually convicted as an 18-year-old adult, ended up in prison at Exeter Road in London, Ontario. And that is not a place to rehabilitate anybody. It's the School of Criminology. So from there, you join forces with other people that are, you know, undesirables, we'll call them. And, you know, when you get out, you have connections that lead to no good. So therefore, the drugs got deeper, the partying got harder, And I didn't escape the addiction cycle until the age of 30 when I overdosed on cocaine on my birthday. My daughter looked at me. She said, "Hey, Dad," she's like, "what happens if I need you? If you overdose and die, or if you end up back in prison, I won't have access to you if I actually need you." That woke me up big time. I turned my life around. I became a personal trainer, master trainer, elite trainer, fitness manager, was nominated for Canadian Personal Trainer of the Year, nominated for Canadian Fitness Manager of the Year, largest revenue generating trainer in about 4 or 5 different fitness companies in Canada, made $1 million with my own personal training company, sold that, moved into the fitness modeling realm, trained a bunch of the cover models that you see on magazines, on the newsstands, created a model search that I took right across Canada, all the way over to India, 2 magazines, a fitness network, sold that business after making $1 million. And then I moved into a product called Dynamo Entrepreneur and the Dynamo Show, which you know about, Megan.
Yeah, for sure. So it was that moment. It was that moment where your daughter said, "Where are you going to be when I need you?" That shifted things for you.
That was the big moment. I mean, before that, you know, if you take it even further back, why did I join those circles? I was bullied when I was in grade 3 by 2 grade 8s, and it didn't stop until grade 9. So what would normally take me 10 minutes to get to school took me about 45 minutes because I took the long way through the forest there and back to avoid these guys that were beating me up. And, you know, when you're young, it's very embarrassing, one, you know, when you're in grade 3. And I didn't want to tell my dad. I didn't want to tell my brother. You know, so I kind of dealt with it, and I didn't really even tell anybody until I was at the age of 30, and I kind of kept it within that I was being bullied by these guys. So I joined a gang to protect myself from the bullies in grade 9 when the football team was picking on me because I was a skateboarder and I didn't necessarily fit in. I joined this gang that basically took care of them to the point where, you know, you could walk down the hallway in the high school like Moses parting water, and the football team would be, you know, moving aside for me, which was this feeling of power. So the bullies that bullied me, I became the bully of them. And that, you know, went right through high school. So really, you know, you got to look way, way, way back at what causes these, you know, instances, these choices in our life. And we're faced with choices every moment of every day. You know, it's either a good choice or a bad choice each and every moment. And when we actually choose to have a good choice each and every moment, one after the other, good choice, good choice, good choice, good choice, you can turn your life around in light speed. Each and every one of us can do it. You can do it. Your listeners can do it. It's a simple choice. Everything else is excusitis.
Well, you know, I can't relate to all details of your story, but I can relate to the bullying part. And I was bullied quite a bit as well when I was in grade 2 and 3, and I moved around a lot. And I remember that distinctly. And I remember thinking at the time I had no power. And later, when I was in a position where I was able to have power over other people, and I'm talking later as an adult, I'm talking like grade 4 when you're taller. I was very aware of the temptation to use it. And now as an adult, and maybe it's because of what I do professionally, I really watch these dynamics between humans, and it's just this constant oscillation of power. And it's such an interesting lens to view these things through. And I find as a parent, and this is where I want to go with this question for you, as a parent, I find often I'm watching my kids trying to do conflict resolution, and you see it again as this exchange of power that happens back and forth. And that's how I dialogue with them. How do you dialogue with your kids with the awareness that you now have based on the story and experience you went through?
When you're dealing with young people, the things that they don't want to hear is yes, do this, or no, don't do this, right? So they really want to be empowered to be the leader themselves. And I remind them, you know, and I say to my daughter, are you a leader or are you a follower? I say to my son, are you a leader or a follower? So when they repeat that they're a leader, 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 and in those circles and in those decisions, and when those times come to make significant, potentially life-altering decisions, they make it from the standpoint of being the leader. So what I've done is I've shared my story openly with, you know, my daughter, not so much my son yet because he's at an age where he doesn't really understand all of that yet. However, by sharing it with my daughter openly and honestly, and never saying yes, do it, or no, don't do it, just saying, hey, if you do this, chances are you could go down this road of pain that your father has gone down. You know, I've lost 5 friends to drug overdoses. I've lost 1 friend to gun violence, including my best friend. And it's not fun burying your 6 close friends over the years. So, I mean, it can go down a very, very, very dark road very quickly. So to be really conscious in the moment, in the present, of the choices that we are making, because each of them have a ripple effect.
Well, and one thing I can feel about you is your energy, and it's positive. Yes. And yet your story has a darkness to it. Was it a choice to move to a place where you're positive? I'm going to assume you've done a lot of work to get here, but do you find you're still making that choice, or do you find you've actually just crossed a threshold where you're like, no, I am now living the life of a happier person?
You know, one of the things I studied was Esther and Jerry Hicks' work, the emotional guidance system. Are you familiar with that, Megan?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So we each have this internal GPS given to us before we come into this human body that is simply called your emotions, your feelings. And when we get really good at listening to them and being guided by them, being open to being guided by our feelings, we will make the right decisions. Some people call it listening to your gut, you know, following your heart, following your feelings. Resonance, basically, frequencies we'll call it, fear, despair, grief, anger, shame, very low resonating feelings. What happens is that's sending out a signal to attract more negativity into your life. Abundance, love, compassion, kindness, joy. Joy is true north. When we're putting joy out to the world, we're attracting more joy to our life. The common element amongst what I've just said is that we have the choice to choose the feeling we want to feel. Megan can't make me mad. I can only allow Megan. I can have the choice to allow Megan to make me mad, or I can blow Megan kisses all day long.
And I appreciate that you have done the work to get there. And I actually just consider myself an inherently happy person. So when I'm sitting across from someone, because I know you've done success coaching, and I'm sitting across from someone where I'm like, you've got so much amazing stuff happening and let's focus on this. And they look at you and they're like, yeah, I don't see it. Where do you go with that? Because those are those moments where if I'm really honest, it's not hard for me to see the glass half full at any given moment. And I sometimes find myself stuck when I'm sitting across from someone who's like, meh.
You know what? I love to let them speak. Everybody's favorite topic is themselves. So when we ask the right questions based on listening to kind of where they are, feeling their energy, really understanding the energy of the conversation, the room, the space, you know, the atmosphere, and then asking an engaging question based on something they most likely would love to talk about versus what you want to talk about, it will open up the pathway, the channel, we'll call it, for more energy exchange.
And do you find that when you get people into that place where they can really focus on their world and themselves, they eventually will just find that nugget of positivity that they can tap into? Do you find that sometimes all it takes?
Every time there's always a nugget there. They have all the answers. You know, a really good coach, a really good life coach or success coach is one that barely talks.
Do you see how silent I was there?
You're good.
Who influences you?
Who influences me? Well, my mother was my greatest influence. I'll have to share that. She's passed now for the past 5 years. She was a very key figure in the fashion community. She ran a big modeling agency and modeling school. She did a lot with the Miss Universe pageants. But beyond that, I was pretty much raised around a philanthropist. So I didn't really know what the word philanthropy meant, you know, until I was older. And I didn't really see how much my mother gave back until I really began to understand as a teenager and then as an adult what she had done. So for years and years and years, I was supporting her in going to the women's community houses and the different shelters around for battered women and domestic violence and you know, kids that have been displaced, et cetera, through domestic violence. And I've seen a lot of this based on what my mother did, because she did these fashion shows and she raised all this money, and we would bring clothes and food and all different types of, you know, supportive items to these ladies. And I was coming along. And then as I got older, I was like, wow, when my mom passed, I said, I'm going to continue this work. So I focused on women empowerment here in Canada. And I've also focused on it in India, which is my home away from home. I love Mumbai, India. So I'm big in the women empowerment circuit over there in Mumbai. You know, a lot of it has to do with health, really focusing on not only, you know, mental and emotional, but also physical strength and health. A lot of the ladies over in India, take for example, they're very thin, right? So to empower them by being more functionally fit, having a little bit more muscle tone, I began a fitness modeling agency. Fitness modeling is not bodybuilding, so there's not a lot of drugs involved, but it's also not skinny mini. It's not really promoting the industry that my mother was in, which was focused on these skinny mini runway models, which I wasn't a big fan of because I saw what happened behind the scenes and what women did in order to stay lean. So I began the fitness modeling side of things, you know, based on with what my mother did with the runways, et cetera, and the fashion element. But I focused on fitness clothing. It's just a much healthier genre.
And so now that you are working with entrepreneurs and that entrepreneurial network, how has that further evolved your work with respect to the empowerment of individuals, perhaps women, but really just like entrepreneurs as a whole?
Yeah. I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of anyone that can build something from nothing. And we all have the ability to do it, which is really, really cool. This is the best time ever in the history of the world to be an entrepreneur. Why do I say that? One, we have this thing called the internet. And the internet, we can find all the information we need. We can get a full education. You know, we can study what we want. We can take mini crash courses and learn what we need in order to make a dollar here, a dollar there, etc. Being an entrepreneur, you basically, you know, you write your own rules. You don't answer to anybody. You have your own schedule, etc. With the tools at our fingertips for creation, we have all different types of creation tools like Photoshop, Illustrator, etc. We've got all these different social media, you know, mechanisms and platforms that we can actually utilize to connect with the rest of the world. We are one big connected world now, which is so, so cool. So when you have two different topics at your disposal, one being pleasure, two being pain, each of us are experts in either pleasure or pain. So if somebody, take for example, is looking to make that leap from the corporate world into the entrepreneurial sector, whether they're a man or a woman is irrelevant. Whether once they're taking this leap, usually one of the topics that I get them to write on first is pain. People will pay money to get out of pain quickly. So take for example, you know, you have a specific pain, Megan, and you have 10,000 hours of being an expert in overcoming that pain. Imagine if you wrote the blog or did the podcast or wrote the book or had a show specifically to that, or even better yet, a course that you can sell on something like Udemy for $47, and you get 10,000 people buying this course for $47. You just made a really great income based on something that you know very, very, very well. So the more niche you make the topic, the more success you will have, because then you're going to show up on page one of Google for being the expert in that specific pain. And there's enough people in the world that we're connected to right now that anybody, any adult especially, that has years and years and years of experience in either pleasure or pain can take that topic and make a business out of it.
And is that a significant part of what you're doing now, is really working with people who go, look, I'm done doing the corporate life. I want freedom. I want choice. I want contribution, and really helping them make that transition from one life to the next.
I don't start there. I start with the entrepreneur that's kind of already been in the space. We'll call them experts, speakers, authors, internet marketers, coaches, bloggers, people that have already kind of taken that leap into what I call the infopreneur sector. And the reason being I attract them is because I provide platforms like my Speaker Talent Search, the Dynamo Speaker Talent Search, the Dynamo Show, the Dynamo Diaries, which is an anthology series that we've launched for people to share what's in their heart and what's in their head and what's the message that they actually want to get out there. So I've kind of become the messenger for the messengers. So to take these people that are now already living well, so they've already created a little bit of a business, where I take them from is that entrepreneur that's living well into an entrepreneur that is also doing good. An entrepreneur that's doing good is called a social entrepreneur, and their business is called a social enterprise, simply meaning that they are for profit, but they're taking a specific number of dollars and or energy and or love, whatever you want to call it, bandwidth, and they're giving that back to the world in some way, shape, or form by paying it forward.
Well, and I love that. And the reason I love that is I find there's so many people, I have this conversation with people all the time. They're like, I would love to be an entrepreneur, but I'd rather just give my talents away because money is an evil thing. And whether I hear that from practitioners, I hear that from patients, not everyone certainly, but a significant number. And I heard this quote recently that said, anyone who feels that money is evil hasn't given away enough money. So share with us a little bit about the work that you're doing in terms of social entrepreneurship and where your energies are giving back. Because I know you're building something or have built something really, really cool to help support youth who maybe had a similar path or potential to where you were at when you were young.
Sure, Megan. One of the things I would love to share with you guys before I get into that is money. Okay, so I grew up around.
I know, right? There was just so much there. You're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's go back to the mindset of money.
This is really fun for people that have a challenge with money, and I was one of them. I grew up around, you know, a father who has gone through the war, World War II, et cetera. You know, and very, there's a big scarcity mentality around. That. And I've always had a big challenge. I've never seen eye to eye with my father. My mother was very different, very giving, etc. You know, my father raised me in a wonderful way. One of the things that he had a challenge with was spending a lot. And now I see kind of his style and everything is still not my style. However, you know, I understand where he was coming from and some of the things that shaped his belief system, right? That there is a lack of money. There's not enough, you know, where I began to understand abundance and like attracts like and putting good energy out. And if you put a hug out to the universe, a hug is coming back. If you throw a punch into the universe, usually a punch is coming back. One of the things with money that I was taught is when you take money, take for example, I have a $10,000 pile of money in 20s and 50s, a shot of a hand holding it on my lock screen on my phone. So every time I turn on my phone, I see this big wad of money. Now, what I do when I look at that money is I treat it like a significant other. I've got a lovely fiance, Nicola Brazil, who I'll be marrying on the island of Fiji very, very soon. And I'm very loyal. I'm a very good man. I'm a good partner. I'm a good significant other to her. You know, so I look at the money as if it's my significant other. So when you treat money with love, with respect, you never turn your back on it. It treats you good. The second you turn your back on it, you cheat on it, you disrespect it, what happens to money? It leaves you. The energy dissipates. It goes away. So when you treat it in a way with love and good energy and you look at it simply as energy, it will treat you much better. I've taken now a lot of these things that I've learned, these skills, et cetera, the things that I've gone through. And I thought, okay, well, you know what? What's the next step? You know, I've made money. I've had the toys. I've had the trips. You know, I live really well. You know, and I've also been rock bottom numerous, numerous times. What's next? Legacy. Legacy, purpose, passion in giving back. So what is really close and dear to my heart? At-risk youth. So what did I do? I opened up a project called the Reviver Rejuvenation Ranch for at-risk teens. So currently we're looking for a property between the areas of Collingwood and Timmins to build a ranch for 40 at-risk boys that actually live there. So this is kind of the next step for them would be either death or prison. And usually adult prison, similar to my experience back when I was a kid. You know, these are boys that are between the ages of 14 to 17 that have lost their way. They're in gang life. They're hooked on drugs. They've got criminal records. They've dropped out of school. So we've built a military school-like facility where they have uniforms. They come. They learn. There's no free lunch. We've got all these different programs. They got grade 9, 10, 11, 12, so they can finish and get their OSSD with us. We have an athletic director. You know, an academic director, an outward bound director, so they can learn how to survive in the bush, etc. We have a racehorse rescue that basically the boys, they learn how to have that animal therapy between the horses. They shovel manure, they feed hay, they groom. We've got a dog relocation program. So once again, building that love between the boys and the animals so they feel important. And then the boys become big brothers to a younger boy in their own community. They stay with us a year and a half, and then we integrate them sustainably back into the community as contributing members of society.
Yeah, no, it's such a beautiful thing. And you had mentioned before, you know, going to prison was not a place you go to become rehabilitated.
Absolutely not.
If we're looking at our collective capacity to assist young people in getting back on their feet, in fact, helping anybody get back on their feet, what kind of ideas do you have, independent of this one where we're looking at kids, that help to break that cycle? It's a big question, but it's actually one I've always been really interested in.
I share with them these words: nobody is coming to save you. The only person that can save you is you. And if you're not ready, there's no hope.
Right.
Period. I didn't change until I was ready, and it took me until the age of 30.
Right.
And when I decided to do the work, you know, and put in the hours and take one step, one after the other, with obviously good guidance from my mentors and the people that I was inspired by, you know, outside of my mother, I also follow people like Wayne Dyer. He's one of my favorites. Wayne Dyer, RIP. You know, we have Eckhart Tolle, Esther and Jerry Hicks, Robin Sharma, obviously Tony Robbins, you know, all of these.
Obviously Tony Robbins.
Personal development gurus, Brendan Burchard, he's one of my favorites, you know, and really, really following suit. Now we're moving into a new era of, you know, people like Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, Lewis Howes, really, really, really solid advice and suggestions coming from these individuals in order to support and change your life, you know, and then eventually becoming an enthusiast to the point of becoming a personal development junkie, you know, versus getting involved into drugs. It's one of the things that you can do by presenting these types of individuals or podcasts or books to individuals that are lost. Hopefully, you know, at that point, they're open to doing the work and taking the material and the guidance that you're offering. However, that being said, if they are not ready, they're simply not ready. And they'll hit rock bottom over and over and over again, and they'll fall off track. And, you know, controlling anybody doesn't work. We can't control anybody as a human being. We have one God-given duty each here, and that's to inspire. So when Megan takes care of her backyard and James takes care of his backyard, we don't have to take care of each other's backyards.
Yeah, no, so true. And I love hearing that because you have walked in those shoes. You know, it's easy. We can all sit around a dinner table and come up with an endless series of solutions to problems we've never experienced. And it's really nice to actually to hear it from you as someone who's walked that journey. And it doesn't matter what your story is. You're not going to change until you are ready to change.
I work with a lot of young kids right now. A couple of them have attempted suicide. A few of them have ran away from homes. I get a call, you know, from people that, you know, are supporting these kids. Usually, you know, if there's been a suicide attempt, take for example, they either end up in the hospital or a psychiatric home for a little bit, but then they end up with me for a day. And it's just, I just spend a day with them. And most of them turn their life around just by seeing and witnessing, like, hey, this is a guy that was in the trenches. He did walk the walk, just like you said, Megan. However, now look at how he's operating his life. He's living healthy. He's making good, positive choices, what he's eating each and every meal. You know, it really comes down to choices, and choices become habitual. The only thing I would suggest for all of these individuals and or your audience or yourself is to get really comfortable in getting uncomfortable. Change comes by getting uncomfortable. And when you're not ready to get uncomfortable, you're never going to change.
Do you think that's it? Do you think people are just not ready to get uncomfortable with feelings, with experiences?
Most. That's why there's the 80-20 rule, right? I mean, there's people just, you know, generally, they're creatures of habit. We don't like change as a species. We love to be comfortable. The ones that are really making waves are the ones that are ready to fail over and over and over and over again. However, sometimes it hits, and it hits big. And those are the ones that really make it.
Yeah, so true. And it doesn't matter whether I'm talking to a patient or a coaching student. Failure is something that I have come to thoroughly embrace, having experienced it numerous times. But it has failure in and of itself has actually never failed to propel me forward, which I actually find so fascinating.
It's so true.
Yeah, it's always that it's been its most reliable feature for me is that it is a rapid accelerator forward.
It is. And when you really embrace the lessons within, you know, the universe doesn't provide us anything that we can't handle. There's always a lesson. And if you're not ready to learn the lesson, guess what's coming down the pipe? Another lesson. Until you learn that lesson and get it and move up and elevate.
So you're busy with this message and with your mission. What are you doing on your day-to-day behind the scenes to keep yourself intact on a mental level, on a physical level? Like what goes into your health to keep you going?
Yeah, great question, Megan. What a lot of people don't know about me is 5 years ago, I was faced with a situation where I may or may not walk again. I have what's called degenerative disc disease, and I have 5 bulging discs in my back, of which the L4, L5 has herniated 3 times, for which I've had 3 spinal surgeries. Each and every surgery, there's a chance of paralyzation. The next surgery would be having a steel vertebrae, pretty much, with 4 rods in my lower 3 vertebrae holding them together, therefore limiting my mobility. So rather than opting for that surgery, I went out and bought a Harley Davidson for $40,000, and I put it there, and I didn't even have my license. I basically put it there and I said, you know what? I'm going to learn how to walk again. I'm going to learn how to be functionally fit again. And I'm coming from being a fitness model on stage, competing in peak condition, you know, taking health to the nth degree. I took being unhealthy to the nth degree for the first 15 years. And then as a man from the ages of 33 to 36, I competed 4 times, really understanding the epitome of health and how to get your body in peak performance. And then I had this challenge with my spine. I've had the best summer of my life on my Harley Davidson, you know, with my fiance riding around and my new friends in my motorcycle club, and just having a blast living again, smiling again, getting that oxygen again in my lungs, you know, being functionally fit through the bike. I actually trained myself to become functionally fit for the bike. And now I'm looking at competing again, not being able to lift heavy. I have to do it through nutrition, which is the next challenge. So I'm part of the 5 a.m. club. I get up at 5 a.m. till 7 a.m. I train 5 days a week. I have 3 solid meals, balanced nutrition. I believe in the zone principles for eating, which is basically balancing out your insulin and your glucagon hormones each and every meal. by having a perfect ratio of protein, carbohydrates, and good fats, grazing and snacking in between with good healthy snacks, showing people by leading by example how you can eat and eat a lot, be completely satiated, and still lose weight simply by putting the right foods in your mouth and putting the right carbohydrates in your mouth, because carbohydrates are fuel. The whole anti-carbohydrate phase is a big crock. You know, we need carbohydrates to run as human beings and to think better and to really understand the power of water, alkaline water. If there's one tip that I can give your listeners right now, is study alkaline water, alkalinity to be specific, you know, acidity and alkalinity. Any disease on the planet cannot survive in an alkaline body. There's your cure.
Yeah, it's amazing if we can start to get people engaged in lifestyle habits that get them out of that acidic space. The first one being getting sugar out of their life. We turn down the fuel source on inflammation and all the factors that perpetuate disease. Absolutely.
So true. So true. And just water. Like, I mean, our bodies are supposed to be 70 to 75% water as a male, 60 to 75% water as a female, and many of us are not. And if we're putting, take for example, crab water into our body, what are we predominantly made out of, right? So we got to be very, very conscious of the liquids that we're putting into our body. You know, there's a lot of hidden sugars, hidden calories, hidden carbohydrates, hidden poisons, you know, in these liquids that we're drinking. So just to have alkaline water, you can get them now at places like the Water Depot. I get those big jugs. I'll go out and get four of those big 5-gallon jugs and I'll just have them around my house and we'll do everything with it. Coffee, cooking, you know, at the end of the day, it works out to be like $3 for a 5-gallon jug. I mean, who doesn't have that?
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And water is one of those things that drives me crazy in practice because it's so influential on people's health. And yet I throw out to them, you know what, I think more than anything, what I want you to do for the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks is just increase the amount of water that you have. There's this look of absolute disappointment on their face that I couldn't have come up with something more sophisticated for them. But if you can't do the basics, it's really challenged to start to execute at a high level. And that's life, right? You don't get to get off the bench unless you're willing to put in the time and practice and have the fundamentals in place.
So true.
This is only in Canada can I somehow find an analogy between drinking water and hockey, right?
Water is the key.
Water is the key, 100%. James, I work with a lot of people who want to have impact, and they share this with me all the time. Aside from that classic advice of, you know what, just go for it, what do you recommend they do to start that journey of their own unique capacity for contribution?
Get rid of the word wanna.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Right? Pull the trigger. Pull the trigger. You know, the Gary Vaynerchuk says, you know, F your wannas and your gunnas.
Right. Right.
It's to really bring it into the present moment, you know, really embrace that you are doing this, you know, don't become the person you want to be. Uncover the person that you already are.
Oh, I love it. James, what do you want your legacy to be?
You know, at the end of the day, it's all about youth for me. And working towards providing a better future for the children of the world, that we empower them and we treat them, for one, as the smart, intelligent human beings that they are at an age that they can really understand, you know, being that leader versus the follower and making good, sustainable choices, contributing to society like solar, you know, like these renewable energy sources that we have in abundance now, and just starting them at a very, very, very young age, understanding nutrition, understanding financial literacy, you know, and just to really empower them to give back versus this greed model that is imposed upon us at a very young age that is very difficult to break. Greed and consumption and just the mess that we've created for ourselves, that we've left for our children, you know, our children that are here now are the ones that are going to turn this world around. And their children, you know, they have a beautiful planet that's still savable. And it really takes the adults to provide a playing field and a platform and a home for these kids to grow in, where they are empowered to make their own choices, good, positive choices, with positive reinforcement from their parents and their guides. Because at the end of the day, they're not going to listen to their parents. They're not going to listen to the cops. They're not going to listen to the guidance counselors. They're going to be inspired by their peers, and they're going to look at their parents, how they are walking the walk. They're going to be inspired by what their parents are doing, not what they're saying.
I could not agree more. James, how would you define health?
Water.
I love it.
Good, clean water. At the end of the day, you know, it's so simple. It's so simple. To really focus on putting enough water, good clean water, into your body is the beginning, because all of your nutrients are going to, you know, be absorbed better. You're going to think better. You know, at the end of the day, we're electromagnetic, you know, charged human beings, you know, and the more water we have in our body, the better everything works, right? So that's kind of the beginning. Health for me is obviously, you know, good nutrition. Fitness is key, you know, working out at least 3 times with resistance training, meaning weights per week, you know, just getting into the habit of doing that. Cardio 5 times a week, having 5 to 6 smaller meals a day, and then really focusing on celebrating life by having 1 day off. So having your Sunday off, or pick whatever day of the week you want. I call it 6 days on, 1 day off, you know, unless you're really going hardcore for a goal, maybe 1 day every other week or 1 day every month, etc. But once you kind of get there into a maintenance phase, still do 6 days on, 1 day off. And I break that 1 day into 3 meals. So if you want to break 3 meals across the week, I have complete cheat meals. I go nuts. You know, I'll go to the movies with my kids and I'll get popcorn with butter on it. And then I'll go right back to my vegetables again. You know, but then you're enjoying it. You're treating yourself. You're not using it as a staple.
Yeah, it's so true. Balance works both ways. Each month, I'm featuring a new Anthropology quiz to help you unlock and uncover some of the physical performance blocks that may be holding you back from your true potential. When you know better, you can do better. To learn more or to take the quiz, head on over to meganwalker.com/Anthropology quiz. So we have a second part to the interview. I used to say the second half, but really it's very short. So half is totally leading you astray. I call these KPIs, or key performance indicators. So just like we would have them for our business, I believe we have them for our health and lifestyle as well. So I've got a few quick questions for you. Are you ready?
100%. Born ready.
I know. I feel like James is never not ready. He's in the ready position. All right. Do you have a consistent morning routine? And if so, can you share?
Yes, I get up at 4:55 a.m. Before, you know, we had smartphones, et cetera, where we can just get up at any time. I set my alarm clock for 4:55 so I could avoid the news, and I would get that last song coming through the hour. I would head down to the gym in my facility. We'll talk about what I'm doing right now. I live in the Marilyn Monroe Towers. We have a state-of-the-art facility downstairs where I have squash, a warm-up with, you know, 5 minutes of cardio. I'll do a half hour of resistance training. I'll do 2 different half hours of cardio, usually an elliptical and then a treadmill, or I will play squash for that duration. Then I will head into the pool, do 25 to 30 laps, move into the hot tub, do my meditation in the hot tub, relax my muscles, be back upstairs for 7 a.m. when my kids get up, get my kids ready for school, etc. Make sure that everybody has a rock solid breakfast, and, you know, before 9 a.m., usually between 20 minutes to 9 and 9, I plan out my day with no more than 3 things on my plate. And then I can really focus on those 3 things, most likely hit them home. Don't look at a 4th thing until I nail the 3rd thing.
Super good advice. Quick context question. What time do you go to bed?
I would say 10, and I'm up at 5.
Okay. Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now?
Non, every time.
That's like the only answer I ever get. What's on your bedside table right now?
On my bedside table is...
Don't say a glass of water.
No, Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth.
Oh, nice one. What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
Physical fitness training. I love it. I'm mildly addicted to resistance training, going to the gym, you know, really having that stress release and focusing on progressive overload, which simply means pushing your muscles in a different direction with either more weight or a different angle in order for them to grow.
What do you do for fun or play?
Ride a motorcycle.
Amazing. Last question. Entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think we start out as entrepreneurs. The best salespeople on the planet are kids. They don't take no for an answer. You know, we're creating lemonade stands and, you know, t-shirt companies and magic shows. You know, we start out as entrepreneurs and then we get sidetracked by this corporate BS.
I like that. I like that idea that we all start with that in us. James, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast. I know people are going to want to follow up with you. Where can they find you and what are you up to right now?
Yeah, thank you so much, Megan. It's been a blast, you know. Very, very simple. My new website just launched a couple weeks ago. It's version 2 of jamesert.com, jamesert.com. You can Google me. There's about 10 pages there. And then thedynamoshow.com, just how it sounds, thedynamoshow.com. There's 57 episodes there. It links to YouTube. We've had about 166 guests, amazing, amazing people such as yourself, Megan, that I've interviewed as well, sharing their story and what's in their heart and their head, you know, to the world.
Well, we'll have all of those in the show notes so people can follow up. James, thanks again so much. It's been such a pleasure.
You are more than welcome. Namaste.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.